We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Wasn't Sunday a great day? Amen. I went home just thinking, man, it was so good to be back in God's house with God's people. And it was just so refreshing, and it was so uplifting, and our choir did a great job. And so I'm just so encouraged to be back. I was thinking as I was standing down here tonight worshiping, boy, what a difference 1 week makes. You guys remember where we were last week? Those of you that hadn't hightailed it out of here, we were all in here. You know I love you, okay? We were all in here praying and getting ready. And, of course, tonight we want to pray for those folks in Puerto Rico. Pray for the people across the islands. And all of us are praying, like, keep going north, keep going north. I heard somebody say they're singing the song, How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria, right, with the hurricane. So we definitely want to pray that it keeps going and pray that, of course, the earthquake in Mexico, the fires up north, you just look and listen to everything that's happening, and your heart sinks, but it's good to know that God is in control. Right, church? And so pray for those that are struggling and hurting tonight. It's always a joy to have a missionary here. And by the way, we actually have two missionaries here. He snuck in on me. Pat, right over here. Pat Gordon. Can we welcome him? He's here tonight, one of our missionaries, right next to Jerry. And he's down visiting his mom and dad, I'm sure, and checking up on things. And so, Pat, we're glad you're here. And then, you know, in October, we are doing what we call Missions Month Emphasis. What happens is we take a whole month. Now, because of Irma and just some other things, we won't be kicking that off actually the first Sunday in October. The 4th, we will have a guest missionary here. But then on the 8th, I'll actually move into my series called Engage. If you're a member of our church, you're going to get a letter in the upcoming week explaining all the activities. The end of the month, the last Sunday of the month, will be Friend and Family Day. And we'll be talking a whole lot more about that to the church. But each Sunday night, there's two Sunday nights that we're having, and then, of course, some Wednesday nights. You're going to be introduced to several different missionaries. You're going to get to hear what's happening. It's going to be a great time. How many of you remember Ken Lowe, one of our missionaries that we supported to Portugal? He's actually going to be here with us. He's going to be speaking. But tonight, because he couldn't make the month of October for us, we actually have a very sweet, loving couple who have actually joined our church. They've kind of just become family. And in a way, I'm kind of irritated that they're going to go to the mission field, just being honest. I kind of feel toward them like I do when some of you guys travel back up north after you're down here and then you're like, we're going up north. I'm like, get your heart right, you know? And so, but Thiago and Erica have just been a huge blessing to Faith, and they've been a part of not only our music team, but just serving and ministering, and Pastor Micah, his role in our church is to connect initially with prospective missionaries, and he had connected with them, and I said, hey, how was it with Thiago? And he just looked at me and goes, you need to meet with them. And I said, I'm going to take it, that's a good thing. And so we did. So I took Thiago out yesterday, and just had a great time getting to know him, his family, his story, his testimony, how God has been leading him. And I'm not going to try and say his last name because it sounds a lot like Margarita. And he told me how to say it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going with Thiago because I'm gonna butcher it. And so I don't want to do that. But had the chance to just hear from him. And I'm excited about what God is doing in his life, what God has continued to do, and where they believe God is leading them and how that's going to look for them. And so I said, you know, he was originally supposed to speak last Sunday night. Of course, we did not have service due to the storm, and we got him rescheduled. And he's going to be traveling here in the month of October, and I'm sure he's going to talk a little bit about that. And so tonight he's going to come and do a couple things. He's going to present what is happening and tell you a little about himself and kind of walk you through some things. And then he's going to bring us a challenge from the Word of God. And so, Thiago, we're very glad you and Erica are here, and I want you to come. And church, would you make him welcome, all right?
Thank you, Pastor. You're welcome. Well, contrary to what Pastor Denver said when he was presenting to the church, my last name is not Avocado, okay? Well, Margarita, it's actually closer, Pastor, so good job. Thank you very much. Okay, we are very thankful to be here. Not only this night, but the first time when we laid foot here at Faith was when we were looking for a place to belong. We know that the Lord has our future held in Brazil with an awesome ministry that I'm going to be sharing with you guys. But we know that our calling is to not just serve in the future, but serve in the present. And here we have been finding a place where we can serve, where we can be challenged in the Word of God, where we can grow as Christians, and where we can fellowship. And for that, we are very, very thankful to all of you and for God in the beginning for like allowing us to be here. As you guys know by now, my name is Thiago. That beautiful lady there on the back. Sorry, all pastors and Barry and everything, but it was like the prettiest lady that was singing here and the praise and worship team. Her name is Erica. Okay, we have been married for over, it's going to be 6 years this December. We met in Brazil. I'm originally from Brazil. I know that I look like by my name and by my body type, I look that I belong here, but I'm not American, okay? I am Brazilian. And my wife and I, we met in Brazil in the ministry. And I spent the first 2 years there and have been here in America since 2014 when we came to study a little bit of the Word of God at Word of Life Bible Institute. And now we are in deputation to go back to Brazil. You know, we are very grateful for everything that the Lord has been doing. Being here in America was not only like a good thing at the point that we got a lot of Bible foundation in our lives, but it was also like very good for my marriage. My wife, she was born here in America and raised in Brazil when her parents went to be missionaries there. So coming here was something very good for us, you know, and we're very thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here now. But enough about us. The ministry that I'm going to be sharing with you guys, it's a Word of Life ministry. I believe all of you guys have heard of Word of Life, right? It's right here around the corner. Yeah, like, have you, Ms. Jody? Yes? Okay. Just making sure. It's an awesome ministry, and it's not only present here. It may come as a surprise for many of you guys, but Word of Life is a organization that's now present in over 70 countries around the world. Okay, one country specifically, it's one that holds a dear spot on my heart, and that's the country of Brazil. It was actually the first missionary outreach that Word of Life had overseas. Have any of you guys have ever been to Brazil? Yeah, Tabitha? Yeah, we have some people, right? Okay, so you guys know that Brazil, it's a huge country, right? Some of the statistics of the country, so you may know, okay? In territory, if you guys take Alaska out of the continental U.S., Brazil would be larger in territory than America, okay? Brazil occupies almost half of the entire continent of South America. It's a huge country. It's also the fifth largest country in the world, not only in territory, but in population. Okay, we are about 200 million inhabitants in Brazil. Also, once again, almost half of the entire population of South America. It's a huge country. And it's the eighth largest economy in the world. So it's like a country with continental proportions. You guys are very familiar with that because you yourself are also like a gigantic country, right? We've been like up here in Florida, going up to New York, and we barely scratched the surface of how big America is. And it's the same thing with Brazil. But actually, one thing that I want to bring to you guys, it's not the physical or the things that we can see about Brazil, but it's actually presented in this chart here. Many of you guys have probably saw this chart before. It shows the countries that are in decline of growth of new Christians, okay? And unfortunately, as is America, Brazil is also there, okay? So Christianity has been shrinking down like exponentially in our country, in Brazil. Just showing you guys a little bit of the religion of the country. Okay, Brazil, it's the largest Catholic country in the world, okay? Almost 65% of the population of Brazil claim themselves Catholics. Many not by walk, but by tradition, which makes itself very hard for us to actually evangelize and share Christ, because everybody knows who Christ is, but because they heard of him, not for having a relationship with him. And the Protestantism comes right after that with like around 20% of the entire population and many other religions after that. But one thing that calls our attention to this like chart that I'm showing you guys, it's that in this other religions, 8% of the population is about 1.5%, 1.5 million inhabitants. Most of those other religions are now Muslims. Brazil, Islamism has been growing exponentially in our country. From the last census in 2010, the last census 2016, to the census right before in 2010, the growth was 85% in the number of growth in Islamism in our country. And this is by itself one point of concern. But when you look at the number of Protestants in the country, when we are talking about Bible-believing Christians, this 22% shrinks down to less than 4% of our population. So a country with over 200 million people have less than 4% that actually have a correct understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what he came to do here in this world. So as a Brazilian, this hurts in my heart. You know, this is really a saddening scene that's put in front of me. You know, one thing that actually Word of Life founder Jack Wurtzen said when he was with us, it's this phrase: "I believe it is the responsibility of every generation to reach their generation for Christ." Okay, so when I see that that scene, this country that has so many people, but so many that don't know the truth that is in Jesus Christ, I can only take this personally for myself. You know, what can I do? And what Jack Wurtzen said here, it's not more than just like a paraphrasing of the Great Commission that says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." This is a responsibility that's not only for the church building. This is a responsibility that's for each one of us. And that's a responsibility that I take personally when it comes to the people that are living with me, like in my country. With that said, we see that there's a huge need in Brazil for people that are willing to go and make disciples, to go and teach others who Jesus Christ is and what was that he came to do here in this earth. And that's the focus of our ministry there in Brazil. Okay, the ministry that we're going to be part of is called EMI, which in Portuguese is an acronym that stands for School of Ministry of Music and Evangelism. It's a Word of Life ministry, and the focus, it's divided between two main targets. The first one is discipleship and training of college-age students. Okay, we are situated in the south of Brazil. Okay, the place is called Paraná. Okay, you don't need to repeat that. Okay, and it's a beautiful place. Okay, there, each year, we start our ministry. Okay, these are some pictures of the place there. In my opinion, it's the most pretty, the most beautiful place Word of Life has in the whole world. Okay, but you know, I may be a little biased in this opinion. There, each year we receive an average of 25 college-age students that are going to be part of our ministry every year. So when we're talking about those college-age students, they are Christians. that have been saved, that know how to sing, and has a soft spot for ministry, for full-time ministry. Those young people, they gave up everything for a period of 1 year. Any prior commitment with work, with school, everything. And they just come to us in south of Brazil and join our team. There, we train them with music and drama. This is the focus and this is the tool that our ministry uses to evangelize. Okay, so they spend the first 40 days of our ministry there, being trained in the songs. We normally have two musical cantatas that we present each year, about one hour long, with an average of 8 songs. So we train them with that. And we also train them with other ways of using music and drama for evangelism. Okay, so they do pantomimes, they do open-air evangelism training. We also encourage them to clearly and objectively share their testimonies. How is their grace story? How did Jesus Christ reach out to them? So they are able to share that in like all the environments, okay? But this is just but a small part of our ministry, okay? It's only the first 40 days of the ministry that we have. These young students, they are going to spend a total of 9 months with us over the year. After they are prepared with all the music and drama, that's when the second part of our ministry starts, which is the partnership with the local church. The local church is the organism that the Lord left in this world, you know, to be a witness of his glory. And we believe that, you know. And if it's not for partnership with the local church, this ministry would not even exist in first place. So everywhere we go, we partner with the local church. On average, just this map is going to show you guys some of the places that we go over a period of 1 year. An average of churches that we partner in 1 year, it's about 100 different churches, okay? In each one of those churches, we're going to spend at least 2 days, okay, doing one cantata on each one of the nights and doing the music presentation. We try to focus in churches that are not don't have the means of having evangelistic outreach by themselves. So churches that are smaller and limited in resources or personnel that they could do this type of program. Okay, we have a stage. It's a 40, 50 feet long stage, and we have sounds and lights that we use. And first thing when we get to a church, we mount our stage, whatever the church has assigned for us to do our presentations, and then we start the ministry outside. You guys are familiar with Life Action Ministry, right? So just as Life Action, our platform is the church. Okay, we come to partner with the church. But instead of working inwardly, thanks, Pastor. Okay, he came out with those difficult words for me. Instead of working inwardly with the body of believers, we work outwardly. Okay, we work doing outreaches in the place where the church is it's aiming to reach out. Okay, so we mount our stage and we have a lot of different things that we do over the day. So like this picture is showing you guys, we are presenting a children's play based on the wordless book in out in public, in a street. So we do that. Brazil, it's still a very open country to the gospel, okay? You can still go to a public school in Brazil and openly present Jesus Christ as a savior and extend an invitation to people and pray with them. Like these pictures are showing you, like we are doing some open-air painting in one of the schools. And we encourage our students to take a time, sit down with those students, and explain them like who Jesus Christ is, that is salvation in him only. Our students have an opportunity to pray with those students, to, like, at the end, take their names, take their information, hand out to the church that's going to be engaging and discipling them, like, in the gospel. And always extending an invitation to everybody. so at night they can be with us for the evangelistic cantatas. Okay, like I told you guys, it's 1 hour long, and we all normally have one play that's on the Passion of Christ, and another play that's like a Christian principles applied to life. We go from themes like Revelation, explaining the book of Revelation, or like families, or like drug addiction, things like that. I'm going to ask Erica to go back to one picture. And yes, this picture. This picture is showing you guys one of our students. He actually, before he surrendered his life to Christ, he had a lot of problems with dysfunctional family and problems with addiction. In this particular picture, he's sharing like how Jesus Christ actually brought him forth from all those addictive situations to a point where he could actually like accept Jesus as his personal savior. You know, our goal, it's not to tell our students that they need to be in full-time ministry. But our goal is to train and disciple each one of those 25 students that are every year with us and show them that they don't need any other anything else other than a willingness to serve the Lord and to bring glory to his name in order to be an effective witnesses to the Lord. You know, just so you guys have an idea of the reach of this ministry. In the year of 2016, we went to 94 different cities. And in the cities, we partnered with 100 different churches. This ministry had almost 500 presentations to a crowd of more than 75,000 people. Okay? So in the span of 9 months, we had 75,000 people that were able to hear the gospel clearly and had a chance to rededicate their lives to the Lord, to reconciliate with the Lord, and for many of them, had an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Okay, from those that we know of, we had more than 1,000 people that actually there make a decision to profess Christ as their personal Saviors. These are the numbers that we know, but we clearly don't have the slightest idea of what's the reach of this ministry other than the Lord. And that's what we try to train our students, okay? So they can see that they can themselves make disciples. One, our goal, like Eric is going to show in the next slide, just one more, sorry. To make disciples, we will make disciples. Okay, we want to train them in the span of 1 year. And once they are back in their churches, they are able to go and just duplicate everything that they learned. So they can go there and they can use their talents in music and drama and evangelism and reach out to their community, to their college friends, to their co-workers and things like that. Like I told you guys, our focus is not to teach our students that full-time ministry is the only way to go. But over the past 10 years, we have had 200 students. And from those, 25% are now in full-time ministry. It's not the only way to go, but it's also an option. You know, like you can do that. And we try to expose them to opportunities that they can they are able to figure that out. You know, and I was a student, you know. The first moment when I first met this ministry, it was when they came to my city and I was able to host them and go with them to schools and streets and to see them using their gifts for the Lord. You know, I decided to give 1 year of my life, and then my idea was, I'm going to be back, I'm going to finish my college, and I'm going to move on with my life. But just the Lord knows what he has in store for each one of us. The only thing that we need is to be willing to obey and to say yes to his calling. His calling brought me here, but he can bring, like, only the Lord can tell, like, where he wants to take our students. I have a little video that I'm going to show you guys. There are like three different students that came. They're just giving a little testimony about what this ministry represents in their lives. Okay, so if you can just turn off the light, because just a disclaimer. Okay, I know how to sing. I try to sing, and I know how to act. I try to act, but I definitely don't know how to put together a video. Okay, so you guys, just forgive me for the quality and for the subtitles, and try to bear with me, okay? So.
Meu nome é Luane, sou da Igreja Batista Peniel em Macaé, Rio de Janeiro. E eu posso dizer que a AM mudou a minha vida no sentido de que antes eu era muito egoísta, eu pensava só em mim. Não levava a sério aquela passagem de Mateus. Ide e pregai o evangelho a toda criatura. E na AM eu aprendi que o nosso propósito aqui na Terra é somente servir e adorar a Deus. E eu aprendi desde a disciplina como conduta cristã. E eu fico muito feliz de fazer parte desse ministério. Ele é um ministério que não vai muito mais além do palco, das músicas, dos teatros. Ele trabalha realmente se a gente estiver aberto com a nossa conduta de vida, sabe? Como é um cristão deve se comportar aqui na Terra. E eu fico muito feliz de fazer parte desse ministério, de ter o Ron e a Sandra à frente. Eles são exemplos maravilhosos de cristão para mim. E eu fico feliz por isso. É isso aí.
Meu nome é Frank. E, bom, fazer parte da AM é um privilégio, porque na AM ela te ensina a servir, a se doar pelo amor à obra de Deus. E o principal legado que a AM deixa na vida é fazer você olhar para as pessoas e perceber a real necessidade delas, que é conhecer o amor salvador e transformador de Cristo. Então, viajando por todo o Brasil, fazendo missões com o Grupo M, nós aprendemos a servir no Reino de Deus e a ser luz e sal na Terra, como a Bíblia nos fala, para transformar vidas através do amor de Cristo.
Olá, eu me chamo Vladimir e faço parte de uma igreja batista aqui no Brasil. Hoje eu moro no Nordeste do meu país. Em 2014, eu tive um privilégio, um presente do Senhor, de fazer parte do Grupo M, Escola de Ministério de Música e Evangelismo, que é um grupo que faz parte do Palavra da Vida aqui no Brasil. Eu, juntamente com jovens de diversos lugares aqui do Brasil, nós saímos do nosso país viajando e pregando a Palavra. O Senhor nos levou em lugares que eu nunca imaginei um dia ir, pregar a Palavra do Senhor. E isso foi maravilhoso e marcou o meu grupo para sempre. Nós sempre vamos lembrar do que o Senhor fez nesse ano. Atualmente, eu, assim como também tenho notícia dos outros membros do meu grupo, nós trabalhamos em nossas igrejas e desenvolvemos trabalhos. Eu trabalho na minha igreja com adolescentes, no ensino da palavra e também com aconselhamento. Também trabalho com evangelismo criativo e uma coisa que eu iniciei no Grupo M, mas que Deus me permitiu continuar aqui na minha cidade, foi trabalhar com evangelismo nas prisões. Hoje eu também trabalho com capelania carcerária. E isso tudo foi um presente de Deus. Então, eu louvo a Deus pelo ano no Grupo M.
Amen. So you guys also felt a little bit of how it is to be communicating in a second language, okay? You guys noticed that it was Portuguese there, right? It's kind of hard. You imagine like my hardships when I got here and I didn't know quite well the English. So just a little experience, transcultural experience for you guys. But these are like three beloved students that we have, that we had the pleasure to have, and many others the Lord has been using to be salt and light, like whatever they are right now. our intent in presenting this to you guys now, it's just so you guys can know a little bit about us, who we are. I know that we've seen you you here in the services and in the ministries, but we never had like the possibility of talking to everybody. So it's a little bit about of like what our hearts beat for. And just so you can know, and you can also like remember of us in your prayers, okay? The Lord, everything that He does, it's so His glory can be shown to men and to others. And it wouldn't be different with this ministry. It's something that's way beyond our capabilities, our capacities, way beyond like what we have. Because that's the way that's supposed to be. Because He's the one that, who enables. He's the one who takes the glory. So pray for us. Pray for the team, that team that's currently like traveling now in Brazil. Just pray that the Lord, the name of the Lord, can be glorified also through this awesome ministry that He has been sustaining over there in Brazil. You know. And with that said, I just would like to open the Word of God with you guys in the book of Matthew. We're going to be reading from chapter 6, starting in then verse 19. And when the pastors asked me to come here and to share a little bit about the ministry, I was super excited because I love doing that, you know. I love talking to people so I can encourage them through what the Lord has been doing in Brazil. But when He said, like, and then you can bring also a challenge to the church, I said, oh, okay. Yes, like I was thinking about like all possible texts and all possible messages that I would like to share with you. And after a while, like meditating and thinking, just finally click. It's obvious, you know, like what are we more comfortable talking about with our life? Talking about like what the Lord has been doing in our lives. So this text, it's a very important text like for my walk with the Lord, and I hope to be sharing with you guys now. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, I'm going to be reading for you, with you. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your word, Lord. I thank You for everything that You teach us like through Your word, and for Your grace that's upon us, Lord, and Your love that it's pouring out to us like in each one of the lines of this holy Bible, Lord. We ask You, Lord, that Your name may be glorified, that Your spirit, Lord, can be using this moment, Lord, to encourage each one of us that are here, Lord, from Your from the words that come from You, Lord. That's what I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I got saved when I was 14 years old, and I like Sermon of the Mount. It's one of the most basic texts that you always learn. You know, like you have this Jesus Christ starting His ministry, and it's amazing. And I've read that like for so many times, but the very first moment when I read that as a teenager, it occurred to me, okay, so He's talking about giving up everything and just going to live for the Lord. Full-time ministry. I don't think this is for me, you know. I'm not a preacher, and I don't know. So I just, like, okay, let's move on. But it was when I was in college, actually in the middle of my college, that the Lord brought my attention to this text. It was a moment when He put made it clear like what my values, what my heart was beating for, and why I was doing what I was doing. In this text, on the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus is laying the principles of his kingdom. You know, he was there, and we know that when Jesus came, there was like this big, eventful play moment. He was doing miracles and wonders, and everybody was marveled with all like his knowledge and his authority and his power. And we can see like the disciples, when they saw Jesus Christ, they were thinking, wow, finally came the one who is going to set us free from all the oppression that we have been suffering, from everything that has been going on in our lives. You know, he's going to come, assume his position as the King of Israel, and he's going to like just set us free, and we're going to be able to have like the kingdom of God here on earth. But as we read through each one of the parts of the Sermon of the Mount, we see that it's not about that Jesus was talking there. He was talking about like a change of mind, a change of mindset, and a change of values. And that's what he showed me like at that moment when I was like with big plans for my life. You know, I wanted to become a lawyer. I want to live a comfortable life. I want to serve my church. And, you know, and he showed me and said, okay, but why are you doing what you are doing? Why is that so important that this is the way that you are doing that? And that's what I saw when that particular moment when I saw this text. Jesus was saying one thing, but as we read in the Gospels, the disciples, most of the time, they were understanding other thing. You know, I don't think they quite understood why Jesus was here for up until the time when Jesus was on the cross dying. You know, and then he said, oh, okay, so it's not about becoming the earthly king. And it took a time with me as well, you know. I understood that this text doesn't talk about a calling for full-time ministry, but calls for call each one of us to live a godly life. You know, two words call my attention when I'm reading this text. The first one is treasures. The first verse says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And I was just thinking particularly about money, you know, treasure, richness. But what he's talking about here, it's about things that you treasure, your values. What are your values? The things that you value the most, are they going to be consumed in this life, or they are counting towards an eternal life? Values, when I look up, because, you know, I have a hard time sometimes understanding some concepts in English. You know, the words are a little bit different. So I look up on the dictionary, and it says, like, values, it's a person's principles or standards of behavior. One's judgment of what's important in life. So when we are reading this text that's telling us to not store up treasures on earth, we are reading about, like, do not give a overall value, like, to things that you can grasp with your hands. The Lord started working that concept when I was in college. All of a sudden, I understand that everything that I wanted, you know, like, to become a professional in law, to, like, have, like, the means to support, to look up for me, myself, and my family, this is not the main thing in life. You know, the Lord showed me that even though I wasn't doing something wrong, you know, my values weren't right at that moment. You know, and I started to seek in the Lord and saying, okay, so what do you want me to do? And he put me, like, in contact with another very famous text that we see that's found in Philippians 3 from verse 4 through 8 that says, Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised in the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. It's amazing, you know, like I started thinking, wow, these are the values for me. It's Jesus Christ. It's his word, you know. And one question that I want to like to just to laid out for you guys, it's what is valuable for you? You know, we don't need to go further away to remember like something about like earthly values, like with the Hurricane Irma that came here. We've seen like people very concerned about their homes, about their cars, about everything that they possess, all their possessions, earthly possessions, and the possibility of everything being wiped out by this hurricane. Eric and I definitely didn't know what to expect. Okay, in Brazil, we don't have that. We don't have hurricanes, we don't have tornadoes, we don't have earthquakes, you know. We have politicians, which is pretty much, I don't know if it's worse, but, you know, that's what we deal with. Her family was freaking out in Brazil. People were freaking out here. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? We started, like, as we are, like, preparing to go back to the field, we are also, like, trying to, set up some things, you know, for us. And having, like, furniture, having, like, appliances and things that we can take to Brazil so we can have in our home there. So I was thinking, we just bought, like, this beautiful couch, and we just had like this and that. Imagine if everything goes away, you know. I started freaking out. Erica started freaking out, and we were like almost crying when we were leaving our home. But then, like, we looked at each other and we said, you know, if the Lord wants to take this, this is not why we are here. This is not the reason why we are in this world, you know. And John, actually, like on Sunday school last time, past Sunday, John Lingobat, he said, what if, like, we are very grateful when we are praising the Lord because he spared all our things. But what happens if the next hurricane come and we are wiped out? Are we still going to keep our attitude up? Are we still going to love the Lord and still going to be grateful because we are alive? You know, like, this is something that really struck me, you know. And this is something that the Lord has been reminding me since that moment when I was in college, you know. The value of things are not in what I can acquire. It's not in what I can do. It's beyond that, in what the Lord can be doing through me, you know. When I look at things and everything, like, I see that I don't have, like, a house that I can say that I own. I don't have a good car that I can say that I own. I don't have many things. But since that moment when I decided to value things as the Lord was values them, the Lord allowed me to do so much more, you know. I right now, like at the age of 33, I can say that I pretty much know most of my country. I know places here in this country that many people don't know. You know, the Lord has been allowing me to live so many experiences and to be inspired and to be challenged by so many different people. So, like, this thing, nobody can put a price on it. You know, nobody can tell me how much it's worth. And it just shows me that every time, even though I, by myself or by my my bank account. I don't see that I have enough to subsist. The Lord tells me that He's taking care of that. You know, so I want you guys to remember, you know, like your treasures. What are you guys valuing in your life, you know? And the second thing, when I look at this text, it's the verb which it starts with, lay up. This is a verb, and a verb express an action. So my question for you guys is, are your actions expressing the values that you have in your life? What are you doing is expressing what's actually like most valuable for you? Since I got there and I started understanding that back in college, you know, like my values, putting my values in place, I started thinking that I should act by my values. I started being more intentional with my relationship with my colleagues in class. I started, I actually made a pact with the Lord. I said, from now on, I'm never going to say no when I know that it's your will for my life. You know, and I started like participating in evangelistic outreaches in my school, in my college, and doing things because that was just not the reason why I was doing what I was doing, but that is just a result of a change that was in my head, you know. And I'm not telling you guys that I have perfected that, you know. It's a constant struggle in my life, you know, to actually remember what is actually that's worth more for me, you know. It's my relationship with the Lord, or it's the things, or it's like my agenda, or it's my like things that I have to have accomplished. So this is something that takes time for you to understand. I'm reading a book now, and it's talking about productivity because I have noticed that I need to be more responsible with my time, you know, like with the things that I have been doing. And this book, it starts with a text that I want to share with you guys now that's found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, a little bit like before, like in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, what are you doing to externalize the values that you hold within? You know, are you allowing the Lord to use you so so His light can shine through you? That's something that I ask myself daily and continually, you know, because we don't want to do that. We don't want to give up our agenda to comply with God's agenda, you know, and this is sometimes like an exercise that takes time. One thing that I like here, like I get to know a little bit some of you guys, and we got to know, like, the goods a little bit more, like, through, like, service and things that are being said. And one thing that caught my attention was, like, when Robert and Don were giving their testimony, and they said that, like, everything started, like, when they, like, saw their neighbors invited them here, and they ended up staying and everything. And that struck me in the sense that I was asking myself, you know, if people see my actions, how I am behaving in the external world, and they know that I'm a Christian, are they going to be willing to know the Christ that I serve? You know, are they really going to want to pursue this Christ that I say that I'm serving by what I have been doing? By what I have externalizing by my actions. You know, the world, he's excelling in being the world. You know, you see selfishness, love for things, use of people, sin, morals. You see many things that has been taking place, violence, murder, theft. And this should not surprise us because the world is just being the world. You know, the world's just showing what they know how to do. But the problem is me, you, us as Christians, are we excelling in being Christians? Are our actions showing the value that we held so dear in our hearts when we are out in our school, when we are out in our work, when we are out taking trash to the dumpster? Are we really? This is something that the Lord has been stirring in my heart since I sat down to read this text a little bit more closely. Not for this presentation, but back when I was in college. You know, at the end, this is something that it really convict me. When I'm here talking to you guys, I'm actually talking to myself, you know. This is what my heart beats for, Erica's heart, and in the ministry, and that our hearts need to beat for. You know, when we were back in Brazil, working with those 25 college-age students and teaching them how to use their gifts for the glory of the Lord. We don't want them to think just, okay, now it's over, and now I'm going to, at the end of that year, it's over, and we are going to be back to what we are used to do. You know, we want them to actually take what they have been learning and living back to their lives. One thing that I like a lot when at the end of every sermon every service that we have here at Faith, it's that our pastors they pray with us and they say, "You are sent." This is something that's really different, you know. I'm not from here, so I have never seen anybody close a service like that, but that's actually the truth, you know. We have a mission, you know, when we are done with this 1.5 hours that we are here fellowshipping together, we are not done with our roles as Christians. We are just starting to externalize what we have been learning and what we have been receiving from the Word of God. You know, another phrase that I heard here also, it's that God doesn't call us, doesn't call all of us to full-time ministry, but He calls us to be full-time Christians, right? That's what we try to teach to our students back in Brazil. That's what the Lord has been teaching me, along my life with Him, and that's what I want you guys to take from this text. You know, try your best, the best that you can. And when you cannot anymore, just ask the Lord to try for you, to act out the values that are held within your heart, within your mind, and to actually act so you can be salt and light and can be shining for the glory of God.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.